in complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to help us. I would ask your prayerful attention by way of text to Psalm 126 and verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Verses 5 and 6 are the same things in different words, aren't they? Verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The implication, dear friends, of this end of this psalm is there are those who come into great need and sorrow. They feel helpless, hopeless, and they fear the worst. Circumstances in their life seem all against them, and it brings them down to tears in a natural way. But dear friends, the psalmist is also speaking here. I've been brought into such a low state in a spiritual way. Peter says, doesn't he, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. But we have those lovely words of Jesus. I will not leave you comfortless. Dear friends, those who are the Lord's children, those who do believe in the Lord Jesus, those are the ones who go forth weeping, bearing precious seed. And the promise is, doubtless, they shall come again with rejoicing. All that they have need of supplied to them, bringing these sheaves with them. The fruit of his sowing in tears. A reaping in joy, bringing his sheaves, the fruit of his labours before the Lord, where the Lord hath granted that abundant supply. Oh, dear friends, these things are on record in the Holy Scriptures for our comfort, aren't they? We don't find comfort in these words when everything is smooth and well. We have no need of them, do we? When everything is smooth and well. We live unto our own ways and our own thoughts and our own abilities and our own strength. And whilst things all go well, why there is perhaps very little thought of prayer. But dear friends, the Lord knows how to keep his people humble and dependent upon his grace, upon his mercy, upon his goodness, upon his love. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. In fact, we read in various places in the Scriptures of sowing and reaping. Jesus spoke several parables founded on sowing and reaping. And as we know, that well-known parable of the sower sowing his seed on the various types of ground. He had a good seed basket, precious seed, which he scattered on the ground round about him. And the effect was various. And the likeness is of the minister of the gospel of Christ, with his good seed basket of the word of God, preaching unto those before him the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows not in any detail the hearts of those that are before him. It's scattered on the good ground. It's scattered on the stony ground. It's scattered on the hard ground. It's scattered on the thorny ground. My dear friends, how solemn when there seems to be no fruit, no effect. As if there's no taking root downward to bear fruit upward, no first the blade nor the ear. You know, dear friends, the true ministers of the gospel, when there's no fruit to their ministry, they're brought to a very, very low state. They're brought, dear friends, away, they know they are nothing. They're brought to know they can do nothing. And the Lord knows how to keep them humble, that they be not exalted above measure. Oh, the Apostle Paul was given a thorn in the flesh, wasn't he? That he be not exalted above measure through the visions and revelations he had had. You know, dear friends, when a minister preaches, and there's many signs following the preaching of the gospel, which we would love to see and hear, he can be easily lifted up with pride. The Lord knows how to keep him low. And dear friends, when that minister and preacher is low, he knows he can speak nothing aright without the Holy Spirit's aid. It brings him very much to his knees. He sees the fruitlessness of his labours, of his ministry. And it brings him to tears. A trial of his faith. Is he in the way the Lord would have him go? Did the Lord call him to preach those unsearchable riches of Christ? Then why is there no benefit evident in the hearts of the people? Oh, poor Jeremiah, he was like that, wasn't he? How he preached the word of God to those people of Jerusalem, whether they would hear or forbear. And for the most part, there was the forbearing. They didn't hear. It had no effect upon their stony hearts. He was called the weeping prophet, wasn't he? But dear friends, the Lord knows these things. He knows how to bring the ministry of the gospel such that he shall have all the glory and all the honour. He knows how to make a minister go into the pulpit trembling and fearful, and to come out ashamed. His failings, his faults, all that which he said and he shouldn't have said, that which he didn't say and he should have said, all how they go over in his heart and minds continually. But dear friends, when there's a hearing, when he hears of some effect of the ministry of the gospel in the heart of some sinner, in the heart of someone who was pressed down, someone who was weak, someone who needed confirming of their love in Christ Jesus. And, oh, a gracious effect in the heart. He then knows it's not his work. He knows it's the Lord's. Oh, they might be termed the fruit of his labours, but all the glory is to God. And his sorrow is turned into joy. The joy in praise to the Lord, not to himself. Not like those who came before the Lord in the day of judgment and said, Lord, we have done marvellous works in thy name. In thy name have we cast out devils. And he would say unto them, I never knew you. Glorying in their own work. Oh, dear friends, do pray for all those whom the Lord hath sent to labour in the harvest. Today, as Jesus said in his day, the harvest truly is great and the labourers are few. Oh, we do pray, dear friends, that he will send out others whom he will send in the ministry of the gospel. And dear friends, do pray for them, and when the Lord speaks through them, when the Lord uses them as the means of you hearing his voice, then do speak of it. It'll turn weeping into joy. And it'll be the glory of God, to the glory of his name. Or may there be fruit to the ministry here, whether it's myself or others who come. The coming Lord's Day, one engaged to preach here. May the Lord bless him to speak those things which the Lord lays upon him. And may that word not fall to the ground. Or what do we read in Isaiah? To give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And that word not to return to him void, but to accomplish that which he doth please, and to prosper it in the thing to which he doth send it. Oh, dear friends, do pray for the ministry of the gospel. Don't come just to hear what the man has got to say. That'll enter our heads and stay there. Oh, do come to hear what the Lord has got to say through the means which he hath ordained. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Oh, what a promise. In his weakness, in his inability, in his unworthiness, to be used to the glory of God, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves, the fruit of that ministry through the blessing of the Spirit with him. Dear friends, that strengthens, encourages. As Moses was instructed by God regarding Lot, encourage him, encourage him. But dear friends, there's more sowing than just preaching the gospel, isn't there? We read in that Paul's epistle to the Galatians concerning sowing. Sowing to our own selves. What a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What a searching word that is. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. In other words, dear friends, if we in our lives just live for the benefit of our own selves, seeking the earthly good through our own endeavours, for our own selves. We don't ever get above our corrupt state by nature, sinners. Oh, it's our nature, isn't it, to seek that which is for our good bodily, for our comforts, for our ease, for our wealth, for prosperity, maybe for authority and power, or to be, as it were, of higher esteem than others. And dear friends, we can go about in our own nature, endeavouring to obtain those things that are of the lust of our flesh, to satisfy the pride that is in our hearts, or to get favour of others, to get favour of our friends and acquaintances, and in business, in other activities of the community and so forth. What does the Lord say to Baruch, who was that clever young man who wrote down the dictation of Jeremiah's prophecy? Seek thou great things for thyself. Seek them not. Oh no, those who live in these vanities, they are vanities, spiritual vanities. They'll never bring us to any hope of eternal life. And if we have a hope of eternal life while we conduct ourselves in them, dear friends, it's a vain hope. We're deceived, and God is not mocked. Oh, there's been many accounts, hasn't there, in history, where those who have had high office in the church have lived to themselves and neglected the people of the church. It was in the days of Ezekiel, when the Lord spoke through Ezekiel of those who lived to themselves and fed themselves off the flock, and had not fed them with the truth concerning the grace and the mercy of God. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Dear friends, if we sow carnal things, we shall reap carnal things. And that carnal judgment, or the judgment of our carnal self, in that last day, will be eternal death, eternal damnation, in that lake of fire. God is not mocked. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reef life everlasting. He that soweth to the Spirit. Spirit of truth, come down. Oh, their desire to know the things of God. Their desire is the salvation of their soul. Their desire is to know the truth as it is in Jesus. To walk in the Spirit. As we read in Galatians here, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Dear friends, this is a humble walk. As Micah tells us, what doth the Lord require of thee? He's shown thee that which is good. Oh, this saving knowledge through the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The mercy and the grace of God to those whom he forms for his praise. What doth he require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God? Oh, is that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting, life everlasting. Dear friends, those who walk humbly with their God, they seek the good of others before they seek the good of themselves. As we find it when Jesus spoke of the judgment day. Oh, I was in sick and ye visited me. I was hungry and ye gave me fed me and gave me drink. And I was in prison and ye came unto me naked and you clothed me. Oh, dear friends, if we do not know those things, when there's a need in others, how dwelleth the love of God in us? It's a solemn question, isn't it? Which the Apostle John writes in his first epistle. Oh, let us walk in love. Love to Christ and to God, as Christ hath loved us, in the spirit of the truth, as Christ gave himself for us, so we to give ourselves to others. In our doing, that won't be our salvation, no. Dear friends, it'll be the effect of that love which he hath shed abroad in our heart, to walk in love as he hath loved us, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength, and our neighbour as ourselves. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Dear friends, that reaping will be everlasting life. Walked in the strength of the Lord our God, gone in the obedience of his word, in the strength of the Lord our God. Walked by faith, trusting in him at all times. Spurning and turning away, from evil. Seeking his good spirit to rule our heart, governing our words and ways. Oh, dear friends, so may it be. What a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That with us he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And dear friends, I want to come to a different aspect of the text. My mind went to Hosea, that lovely, searching a prophecy of Hosea. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Dear friends, that's what walking in the Spirit is, isn't it? Sowing to ourselves in righteousness, dependent through the Spirit on the righteousness of God, and to walk in the Spirit, seeking to do those things which are right in his sight, and to reap mercy. You know, dear friends, even though we aim to do those things, we shall fail, shan't we? But oh, there's a throne of grace. The Lord knoweth our hearts. He knoweth our faults and our failings. He knows how weak we are. Oh, how willing we are in the spirit, but weak in the flesh. But there's that throne of grace, there to come in the name of Jesus for obtaining his mercy. Sow in yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Forgiveness of our sins. Oh, his pardoning love is what we need at all times. That grace to help us in the time of our need. What exhortations these are to a child of God. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap the mercy still. That mercy you found, that mercy that granted you that hope of eternal life through the shed blood of Christ. That's what we shall reap in, shan't we? The heavenly life. Life everlasting. But dear friends, the Hosea goes on to say, for it is time to seek the Lord. It is time to seek them. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. It is break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Dear friends, sowing in prayer. Sowing in prayer. Dear friends, there'll be many things in our basket, won't there? Many trials, many difficulties, many troubles. And dear friends, that basket can be quite heavy, quite a burden to us in all the aspects of our lives, daily lives and experiences of our soul. My poor Jacob, who said, all these things are against me, he had a heavy basket, didn't he? Oh, the seeds of iniquity, not of his own, but of others against him. And friends, as many seeds of evil as can fill our baskets that we have to carry in our daily lives. What ought we to do with them? We have that lovely word in the Psalms, don't we? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. That word burden literally means in the Hebrew, lot. Cast your lot. Cast everything that falls upon you, your lot in this earthly life. Cast it upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. Oh, dear friends, there'll be many things in our lives which will bring us to weeping. Great concerns, sorrows, bereavements, troubles in the family, troubles through sickness, infirmities, injuries, troubles with others, perhaps in the neighbourhood. Oh, great things which may occur in our nation through ungodly rules and regulations and the threatenings of persecution that that may bring with them. Dear friends, the heart knows its own bitterness, and you have your own burdens. I have mine. What are we to do with them? Dear friends, we're to sow them upon the Lord. We're to cast them upon him. We're to sow in righteousness to a righteous Saviour, one who nothing is too hard for him. Dear friends, if he can lay down his life and save your soul from the pit of corruption, he can do all things for you. His precious promises, dear friends, they are righteous, because he is faithful that hath promised. He will not let you fall. He will not bring you down into destruction and despair. Why? Hasn't he not said that he can carry you, he will carry you? Down to hoar hairs, he said, will I carry you. He bears the burden with you as you cast it upon him. Oh, dear friends, what a type this is of one brought very low in their soul, perhaps burdened by their sins again and again, endeavouring to do what is right, and then finding, oh, they only do what is wrong, like poor Paul, after he was converted. The good that I would, that I do not, the evil that I would not, that I do. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Christ Jesus, casting all our care upon him. He careth for you, that he may exalt you in due time. That means dealing with the matter, causing the answers to come, calling upon you as you do, is sowing in him in righteousness, calling upon him in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Oh, that's when we get those answers, those deliverances, isn't it? That's when we get the sheaves, the answers, to supply our need. Dear friends, he will supply the needs of those humble, pouring out their heart before him, that broken heart, because of all their trials and tribulations. He's a healer of the broken heart. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. Oh, they that sow in tears, they shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him, the fruit of their prayers, of their petitions. laid upon Jesus. But you know, dear friends, it doesn't happen immediately, does it? When we sow the seed, when the farmer sows the seed, dear friends, there's a time, because before there's the gathering in of the sheaves. And in that time, it could be long. And during that time, which is long, there could be very difficult matters that arise, as we find in the before the harvest, there's all sorts of weathers. There's the storms, the tempests, the dryness, the barrenness, the floods, the wind, the cold, the heat. Dear friends, there's all sorts of things, but and you fear that there will be no sheaves at the end. You fear that there will be no real answers to your prayers as you desire. But dear friends, the one who controls the weather, the environment, controls all things of your case. There's a purpose in all things. That when that time comes, and the time will come. Was it in Daniel? Where there's a word there in Daniel which says, the end is sure, but the time is long. Then, dear friend, we're to continue in prayer. We're to trust in him at all times. You've sown the seed. You've cast it upon him. He will perform. We know not how long. We don't know how. We don't know when. Oh, but what a sweet assurance there is here. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The Lord is there. Or as we had at the beginning of Psalm 125, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from an henceforth, even forever. The Lord is there. He will not leave nor forsake. He will undertake. He will even cause all things work together for good. To them, is this you that love God? To you who are called according to his purpose. Oh, dear friends, then trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart before him. Tell him all the truth. Cast upon him all your care. He careth for you. And he will bring forth. Oh, as it was with Zerubbabel. Oh, what a great mountain he had before him. It was not by power, his own power, by his own might, he got the answer of the work he got to do. But by my spirit, saith the Lord. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, crying, grace, grace unto it. All the glory was the Lord's. Yes, that temple was built. Dear friends, it was difficult. It was long. But through the Spirit of the Lord, it came to pass, as they trusted in him and were led by his Spirit. Oh, dear friends, may this be the case with us each. Whatever our pathway, to trust in the Lord, casting upon him, oh, our hearts pouring them out before him, all our matters, all our concerns. For he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen.